Ah, now we've got some. Might turn me down a little bit. Hallelujah, church. Same y'all, like y'all come back for one more round tonight. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. And where the presence of God is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many is ready to be refilled tonight? You know, we talk about other denominations or whatever, you know, stopping at a certain point after salvation and they don't go any further. But I found out we Pentecostals are probably worse because we get saved and learn about the Holy Ghost and get filled up and that's it. We stop. Come on, somebody. I got to preach the beginning before I do the end, but I'm going to start at the end and then... Hallelujah. I thought we'd revisit Joel's place at the end of the service tonight, since I think all of you are saved. Amen. How many needs to be refilled tonight? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to be talking about the church tonight. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the anointing that's up on that word to destroy every yoke. In the name of Jesus. You know, when we look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we see that there's always a particular theme that runs through each one of them as we go through them and read them. And we look in the book of Matthew, and we see that how that he stresses Emmanuel, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. And then we go and we look through the book of Mark, and we see the history of redemption accomplished through the atoning work of Jesus. And then we go on over and we read into the book of Luke, and we see Luke as he presents Jesus as a Savior to the world. And we go on over into the book of John, and we read where John wrote about us having a settled faith on the basis of the words and works of Jesus, and that we could have life in that name. Then we get to the book of Acts. We get to the book of Acts, and we begin to read about the power of the Holy Ghost in action. We begin to see the blueprint for the church, the birth of the church, the power that is so vital that Jesus told his disciples, don't you leave Jerusalem until you are endued with this power. Don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with this power. And the book of Acts is full of testimonies of the early church, of ordinary people, just like me and you. The people that are in the Bible are people just like me and you. They were just examples at what God can do through ordinary people like me and you, walking in the power and the anointing of God. They were so anointed and full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 17 says, here are these men that they have turned the world upside down. Now they've come here to cause trouble. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be known like that when you walk in this place? My goodness, here comes that woman again. She's here to turn some things upside down. Glory to God. So they didn't leave the upper room, and the promise came, we read in Acts, and we read about the miracles that happened after the upper room experience. But I found out the books of Acts has not had its final amen yet. That we are the generation that's putting the final amen to the book of Acts here in this earth now. And we are the continuation of that book today in the earth. It's not about the early church or the latter church. It's about a continuation of a church that Jesus established in the book of Acts. Oh, hallelujah. The continuation of Holy Ghost-filled people doing the works of God in the earth now. So we've not had a final amen. We're the generation that walks in the power and the demonstration of God. We're called to be demonstrators. So continue means to carry on, to keep on going, to carry on with what was started in the early church. So we are to be a building upon what was established by the early church. And it was established upon power. It was established upon Jesus said, stay there until you are endued with this power on high. Church, the book of Acts has not passed away. The power and miracles of God are still real today. Yeah, that's right. Why aren't we seeing them? Because I believe that we have stopped at Joel's place and we get wore out and burn out and we don't go back for a refilling. So then before you know it, we're just idly sitting by and just coming to church. Yeah. And just playing being a Christian. Amen. So we're told we're to be built up on what was established by the early church. And the early church was established on power. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Power comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means ability, might, strength, and miraculous power. We just have to receive it, accept it, and walk in it. Not in our strength, but what we've been endued with. Although the disciples were already operating on a level of anointing, of a delegated authority, Jesus told them to be prepared because I'm leaving here. And when I leave here, I'm not going to leave you without something to carry on what I want you to carry on. Because the works that I did, you're going to be even able to do greater. So I'm going to leave you something. You're not going to be left helpless. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to be left with carrying this thing on by yourself. But I'm going to leave you with a power to be able to carry on what I'm starting. Don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with this power. So they, he said, be prepared to go to the next level. And sometimes we just want to stay here because we get comfortable. We just get comfortable. We like our comfort zones because anything outside the box we become unsure of. So we dare not take a chance on anything that we're not comfortable with. Amen. So remember his promise in John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. So the disciples came to the upper room where the fulfillment of that promise came. And they then were clothed inside out with the ability of God to do what Jesus had been doing. The Bible tells us in John, for the purpose of the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the evil one. And that work was accomplished at Calvary Church. The works of the evil one. The purpose of Jesus being manifested, brought into existence, was to destroy the works of the evil one. And that was accomplished at Calvary when Jesus says, it's finished. Amen. It is finished. And the church will be given that authority to enforce what Jesus has done. Amen. We've been given that authority. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, curse those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. And listen closely. The purpose of this power is not to overcome sin. The purpose of this power is to be a witness. Because our sin was paid for at Calvary. Our sin was paid for at Calvary. Our sin issue has been dealt with on the cross. But listen, what begins to happen is according to Romans, it says we are dead to sin and have been made alive unto God. That's what Romans says. So if we go all around all the time with a sin mentality, you know what happens? That's what causes us to stay in the box. Because we begin to think, I can't do anything because I've got this going on, or I can't overcome this addiction or this problem, so I can't really be a demonstrator of the gospel of Jesus Christ with what's going on in my life. But see, there's a power that you've been endued with. Now listen, church. Deliverance comes when we recognize that freedom has been provided through us, through the blood of Jesus. And I found out the more that I'm in the Word, the more that I begin to pray in the Spirit, the more I begin to be a demonstrator of that power, I wake up one day and those things that I've been bound to are just gone. Because I've got rid of that sin mentality that I think I'm going to sin all the time, or I've got this going on or this going on. So I hold myself in a box because I don't want to be a demonstrator of the gospel. Your sin has been nailed to the cross. You are dead to sin. The power has been given you to be a witness. The power of the Holy Ghost has been given to you to be a witness unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So you wake up one day and all those things that you've been addicted to, they're just gone. And you wake up free. Amen. So we're here to represent Jesus on the earth. And through the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, we're to give proof and evidence that Jesus is alive. So why do you think you've been under attack so much in the last few months? Because you've been given too much evidence of this power of God. Amen. Because he said, I've got to shut them up. I've got to keep them quiet. They're giving out too much evidence of the power of God, of this Jesus. Glory to God. So Paul gives us the key. He said to the Corinthian church, my message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on the power, but on God's power. So not just talking about it, but demonstrating. Being demonstrators of God's power in the earth. So the early church possessed this power, but what did they possess along with this power to be miracle workers and to add to the church and to cast out devils and heal the sick? What else did they possess besides the power? And we've been talking about unity. The early church not only was endued with power on high, but they was possessed with unity. They was possessed with unity. The power to be able to see the power of God in action, to see the lame walk, the deaf hear. With the power, they had one accord or unity. The word appears time and time again in the books of Acts. One accord. They were with one accord praying. Unity. And I read somewhere one time that the one accord is actually used 11 times in the book of Acts. The believers had one mind and one purpose. And the Bible tells us in Psalms that, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron, upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The Bible says that the Lord commands the blessings where there is unity. And so in the book of Acts, when you see them getting together and pray, you know what begins to happen? A lot of times it says the place was shaken or they were filled again. Why? Because they were praying in unity and God commanded the blessing. Hallelujah. Something always happened when they got together in the book of Acts to pray. Why? Because they were of one mind and they were of one accord. Hallelujah. They were in unity. So it's about people coming together from all walks of life. It's all people coming together in the church from all walks of life. Church is not based on our different personalities. It's not based on what we look like or why this one does that or why that one does that. But it's to see souls saved. That's where the unity comes in at. Unity doesn't come in for us to all start acting alike in our personalities and all of that. Amen. The unity comes in when we come in with one mind and one accord to see souls added to the kingdom of God, to see the deaf hear and the lame walk and the blind see. Hallelujah. And to see people saved for the kingdom of God. So come on, let's join hands and hearts and come into agreement with God and his word that every person is to be free by the blood of Jesus. So what was the early church united in? Number one, they were united in prayer. They were endued with power from on high. And then the second thing, they had unity along with that power. And the third thing is they were united in prayer. Like I said the night, when you're bound to the Holy Ghost, something's bound to happen. Amen. So when you're bound together as a church in unity, praying for the same thing in unity and one accord, something is bound to happen. Hallelujah. So you know the story in 2 Chronicles where they came, they told Jehoshaphat, they said, a great army is coming against you. So what did Jehoshaphat do? He set himself to seek the Lord. He called a fast and he gathered all of Judah together. He said, come on, we're going to pray. And so they all began to pray and they all got in one accord and they all got the mind of the Lord. And then God gave them instruction on what to do. Send the praisers out and let them go before you. Hallelujah. So when they were, when the 120 were in the room in Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And 4:24 says, and then when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord in unity. Right. Single-mindedness and purpose. The early church were united. And the other thing is, along with the power, along with the prayer, along with the unity, they were united in vision and in purpose. Amen. Where there is no vision, the people go astray, or whatever that word is. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, there's no boundary. Hallelujah. So you've got people believing this and believing that. And where there's unity comes in, and that vision and that purpose comes in, everybody's like-minded. And that's where the power of unity comes in at. So the early church were united in vision and in purpose. They were endued with that power to be a witness, amen, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when the day, Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. They heard him say, get to the upper room, stay there, something's going to happen. Amen. Don't leave there until you receive this. So they were all in one mind and one accord. God is about to do something. Amen. So here the people were different, but they came together as one to be filled with the Spirit, to find their purpose and their place in the earth now. Glory to God. So they found out that a power was made available to them to be a witness. They had their purpose and they had their vision. So the early church was endued with power. They had a vision and purpose. They were united. And the next thing is, they were united in faith. The next thing in the early church, casting out demons, adding to the church daily, seeing signs and miracles, turning the world upside down, they were united in faith. United in faith. So we, where there is unity in the church, it creates an environment for faith to be released because we all have the same goal. Amen. So we're united in faith with that same purpose, that same vision, and that same goal. There is power in that. There is power in that when people's faith is released. Amen. So we are the church, the continuation of the book of Acts, baptized in the Holy Ghost, power to do the works that Jesus did. So we, you know, it's like I said at the beginning, we want to stop once we are filled because we think, okay, that's it. I've been endued with power on high. So we go out and we're gung-ho and we're on fire. We'll cast out demons out of doorknobs and everything else. We think it's got a demon in it. Then what happens about six months down the road? We haven't been in the presence of Jesus to be refilled again. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have to fill my car with gas 2 or 3 times a week. And I have went to the gas station. And my husband always says, don't do that. That's not good for your car. Well, it's not good for us Christians to start sputtering either. Amen. So we Pentecostals think, we've got the Holy Ghost now. We can talk in tongues. We've got it all. And then a few months later, we start sputtering. That's because we haven't been refilled again. Over and over and over and over. Because we all been around to know, long enough to know, that life is hard. Amen. And troubles come to us all. So we find ourselves worn out and burnt out and just sitting by and not seeing any power of the God in action, because that's we're not being refilled again and again. And I believe that part of the ongoing miracles in the book of Acts that they saw time after time and again is because they were continually being refilled. They were continually going back to the presence of God and be refilled. They just didn't stop at Pentecost. They just did not stop there. Acts 2:4 says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. But then again in Acts 41:31, it says, and many of the same believers, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we go and read in Acts 2:24, 29, and 31. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. There's that unity. There's that one mindedness. There's that one accord again. And said, Sovereign Lord, they said, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, do you believe when you pray? After they prayed, it says the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all, not some, but all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they went back out, and they spoke the word of God again boldly. So that's what happens when you get refreshed like we have this weekend in the presence of God and refilled over and over again. You're able to go out and speak of the word of God with boldness. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And I want to talk about the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. There is power in praying in tongues, church. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Singing in the Spirit. Worshiping in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The enemy does not like tongues. It just messes him all up. Amen. But there's something that begins to happen inside of you when you pray in another language. Be quiet, because it takes you out of yourself. It's your spirit praying to the Father. Amen. Praying in the Spirit. You need to pray in the Spirit on a daily basis. Amen. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. Amen. Keeps you in the presence of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and begin to pray in tongues right now. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the opportunity right now. If you do not have a prayer language, I give you the opportunity right now to come up, and I will agree with you that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, shoto do soto. Malidiando koto reba baba kasete eliato sondo do do hoya. Sho ye se hete reba baba kasondo do do shotale de aradesia. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you to refill us again. Refill us again with your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lete reba baba kiando soto reba baba shandala desita yeletea. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Does anyone want to be refilled tonight? Just come on up. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Refreshed in the presence of God. To go out and do the works that Jesus did, and even greater works. To be bold. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rivers, rivers, rivers. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Refill us again, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, with the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Refill, Lord, and refresh. Now, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Jesus. Sing the song of the Lord. Yes. Sing, 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 sing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We receive, Lord, from you tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Nothing like being in the presence of God and being refreshed. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place right now. breathing upon Father, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's not an, but it's a person, and he is just as real Spirit. Holy Spirit is settling on some things in your life. And even as he is settling upon those things that you have cried out to him in days past, and you have cried out, when is the breakthrough coming? God says, begin to praise me for the breakthrough. The Holy Spirit is brooding. And what I see is like lines, dots connecting. Lines connecting the dot. And there's someone here like you're trying to put a puzzle together. And you have searched and searched and searched for the missing piece. And the Lord says, quit trying to search in your own effort for the missing piece. And I really sense that it's a dream that you have had, that you really thought it was a God dream and it did not come to pass. And God says, just release that to him right now. Just release that to him right now. Release that to him right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even within our expectations, sometimes we expect God to move a certain way. And after all that we've been taught this weekend, I hear the wind of the Holy Spirit's blowing very quietly, very quietly. And he said, even in the stillness, you will know my voice. even in the stillness, there is a reassurance that I've got you. And all that concerns you, I've got it. And he has got such a firm grip on you that he's not going to let you go. There are times when you have wanted to let yourself go and even let God go. But God wants to reassure you, you've come too far to look back, and you've come too far to regret. And he says the days of regret are over. He's the God of now. Worship in the present. Tomorrow comes, worship in the presence. No more regrets. If you could have done it different, you would have. But you are where you are. And Jesus says to tell you that he's got you in his grip, and that you're the apple of his eye, and he's not about to let you go. You can squirm. He loves you too much to let you go. No more regrets. It's over. It's a brand new time and a brand new day. Amen. And the anointing of God rests upon you mightily. And he's brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this because you have a testimony. Amen. No more regrets. He's got you covered. Amen. He's got you covered. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord says, for it's even in the quiet place that I will whisper to you by the wind of my spirit, and you will know that it's me, says the Lord. And even in the quiet place, in the still place, says the Lord, I will bring a healing, even to the broken areas of your life that no one knows about. And even things that may have happened, I will bring a healing in the quiet place. Rest in me and be assured that I've got it all covered. For by my spirit you will know that I have drew you unto myself, and with the cords of my love I will wrap myself around you, and I will not let you go. Those that you have been concerned about, know that I have got them. My word is covering them, and it will be as I have spoken to you in the quiet place. For even in the stillness, I can bring healing and I can bring deliverance. Grab a hold of my presence, says God. And watch me do for you and bring to pass that thing that you have cried out to me about time and time and time again. For suddenly you will be walking just in your life, in your ordinary going around about life, and it will just suddenly appear. And there will be a confirmation in your spirit as it connects with me. There it is. It's happened. And you will know with assurance that it could have been nothing else but my hand that has brought the deliverance. For you see, I'm doing a lot of things behind the scenes. I'm rearranging situations and circumstances, and I'm positioning and I am repositioning. And I'm putting things in order. And it will be a divine order. So think it not strange when things start shuffling around. It's by my spirit that I'm causing the shuffling. So the Holy Spirit would say, slow down. Be still and know that I'm God. And even in the business of your life, just be still and know that I'm God. Just be still and know that I'm God. I really sense this morning about children that some of you have been praying for, that you have sowed the word into, and they're not walking in that word. I again hear the Lord say that his word does not return to him void, and their lives are going to start lining up with that seed that has been sown. You have sown the seed. God will cause the increase. And the things that God has showed you about your children will come to pass. Amen. Sometimes we want to make it happen, and we just need to be still before God and say, they're yours. I remember my son doing things that I knew that he wasn't taught to do. I did not yank him aside and rebuke him for it. I got still before God, and I said, God, you gave me this child. And he belongs to you. Now you straighten him out. Amen. So that's with all things in our life sometimes. We just give it before God. Then, God, this is how it is. You straighten it out. Amen. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I am God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the power of your Holy Ghost. Thank you for unity. Thank you for faith. Thank you for vision and purpose. And as we come together from all different walks of life, no matter race, different personalities, we are here for one purpose, and that is to see souls added to the kingdom of God, to see people saved and delivered and set free, to see the blind healed, see the deaf hear, the lame walk, Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's stand, church. Father, we just appreciate you. Thank you for this time together, Lord, this weekend. It has been awesome, 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 God. And even as we've taken the time tonight just to bask in your presence and to reflect over the weekend and just to be still before you and in your presence, we're reminded what an awesome God you are. And even during praise and worship, we were reminded what an awesome God you are. We thank you, Lord, for the fruit of this camp meeting that's going to be seen even in the days ahead. For souls, Lord, that in lives that have been touched, lives that have been changed with the power of your word. For those that were endued with power on high, but those that have been refilled, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your stillness. Thank you, Father, for those that you set before us to minister this weekend. And for the word of the Lord that they brought to this house. We have been regrouped, refreshed and refilled, and reminded, Lord, of our purpose as a church. Father, I speak a blessing on every person here, God. I thank you that they are highly favored of the Lord and your favor surrounds them. And as they go about their ordinary work in life this week, that they are a blessing to somebody. That you put a word in their mouth to speak to somebody, God. And in the stillness of this week, Lord, you're going to remind us all is well. All is well. Thank you for our pastors, God. We speak a blessing over them. Continued recovery. Continued restoration. And keeping them, Father. And again, we say all is well. Amen, church. Amen. Go out and be a blessing to somebody this week.